Several weeks ago, during a rare snowbound weekend, my husband and I happened upon a documentary called Living on $1. Filmed and produced by four college students, it chronicles their experiences as they set to develop a small farming plot in rural Guatemala, living on just $1 a day for 2 months, during which they face cultural and language barriers, financial hardships, illness, and hunger. Through their eyes and experiences, we were able to see the day-to-day effects that poverty has on the community in which they live. But we also see the shining examples of hope and resilience as neighbor reaches out to neighbor in their suffering, bringing food, medicines, offering small loans, and doing what they can to bring each other up. I couldn't help as I watched this to compare it with our own ideas of poverty here in the United States. While many brave individuals and community organizations work tirelessly to end this destructive cycle, there is a malicious trend these days to label the poor, the enemy, the common villain in our capitalist superhero plot. They're lazy, unproductive, a scourge on society. This is seen most prominently not only in the attitudes of those who post frequently to news comments on articles about poverty, but more haltingly from politicians and the very individuals who are tasked with creating policies about how the poor should be treated. In example after example, we are seeing a culture that says it's okay to make things harder on the poor to survive, not easier. Which makes what these young college students did even more remarkable. In viewing the film, it's evident that while part of their process was to participate in a social experiment, they also wanted to experience real poverty in a meaningful way, with the intention of creating change and enlightening others as to what it's like to live under the grid. During her run for lieutenant governor, local restaurant owner Kathy Cummings and her husband Sean lived for a month on minimum wage. They moved into an apartment, took public transportation to and from their work site, and taking a break from running their businesses, worked at a minimum wage job in a local grocery store. For those who followed, it was an eye-opening experience, shedding light on the hardships of today's poverty-stricken. Those who don't want to see new minimum wage laws often contend that it's going to drive up consumer prices or somehow ruin the market. Yet in cities where these policies have been implemented, that idea has rung false. Those of us who are lucky to have good jobs and good incomes still feel the effects of poverty as it has on our society. We see it in our classrooms, in our job market, and we see it in our hospitals. I've also seen poverty through the eyes of friends who work in fields that directly serve the poor. From the regional food bank to Catholic Charities, DHS, and others, these groups strive daily to provide the fundamental needs for people in distress. If you go on any comment section of a local news organization, you'll see these judgments cast down mightily. And it may be true that some people are lazy, or freeloaders, or oafs, but many of those who qualify as poor are doing what they can to get by at minimum wage, often working 80 hours or more a week just to pay for rent and other basic necessities. In Guatemala, through the film, I learned there are organizations that offer special low-interest loans to the most impoverished, providing them with funds for education, startup companies, and farm equipment so they can better their lives. In the U.S., we have payday lenders that will take the money of people in dire need and charge them interest rates of over 300%. This isn't help. This is a trap to push people farther into the debt many desperately want to climb out of. Long ago, a friend reached out and sent me a card of encouragement during a difficult time in my life. It said simply, "We are each of us angels with only one wing and can only get to heaven by helping each other." It's a saying that still makes me pause, because I know deep down that if each of us would throw down our mantles of selfishness and of independence and instead look to see how helping others can benefit the whole of who we are, especially the poor, then we can create a better and less bitter and more fruitful place to live. While they're standing in the welfare line. For KOSU, I'm Jennifer Lindsay McClintock, and this is Gen X. Armies of salvation, wasting